year in the NFL doesn't start for technically another 5 days, but that has not prevented NFL teams from making moves. Guys being released, guys being cut, players being traded for. Big news today, and we'll get into all of it here on After Hours on this Friday evening. Logan Weber here with you. My producer for tonight's show is Jacob Mustard. No guests lined up for the program tonight. There's just so much to get to in the sports world. A lot of NFL news to dissect. Guys that are requesting trades that aren't getting them. Guys being cut. Guys being traded. And a litany of other issues going on across the NFL. Of course, we've got college basketball to talk about. The Big 12 Women's Basketball Tournament is going on right now here in Kansas City. The Big 12 Men's Basketball Tournament next week in Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center. You've got both MIAA men's and women's basketball tournaments going on right now at Municipal Auditorium in Kansas City. You got the NAIA tournament coming a couple of weeks from now. Maybe get into some stories about the NAIA tournament when I was a kid. My dad used to take me every year, and it was a lot of fun. Also got some personal news to share. We'll get into more detail about this as we go along. But Jacob, let me officially announce, my wife and I are homeowners.
That's what's up.
It is official. We signed the paperwork. We closed on our home today in the Grain Valley neighborhood here in the metro. Very, very excited. First time home buyers. We are absolutely thrilled. The home buying process is a cataclysmic nightmare that I would not wish upon my worst enemy, but it's what you have to go through in order to get your first house. And we got it done. So we'll talk. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, now you have a place for all that furniture.
Exactly. A place for all that stuff my wife bought last weekend. Yeah, no question about it. And we'll talk more about that as we go along here tonight. But let's kick off the show here this evening with some NFL news. And the big news, and this one just dropped. Jacob was showing me here just about 30 seconds ago. I actually got a text from my brother about it a couple of minutes ago. Geno Smith is on the move. Geno Smith being traded by the Seahawks to the Las Vegas Raiders for a third-round pick. And you want to talk about how broken the NFL trade market is right now? What? Geno Smith for a third, and the Chiefs got a fourth for Joe Tooney, or a fifth? They got a fifth for Joe Tooney. What planet are we living on?
Man, it's a world of football when there's no football on. Everybody's acting crazy.
Yeah, man, it's a wild one for sure. So again, that's kind of the breaking news story right now. Somebody said, I don't know if you guys can see my previous text, but I called that Geno to the Raiders trade yesterday. I can't see the text that you sent yesterday. I think it kind of just like refreshes itself on a day-to-day basis, but I will absolutely take your word for it. Again, our number 913-586-7965. Feel free to react with us on this Geno Smith trade to the Las Vegas Raiders. We knew that they were going to go after a veteran quarterback. That was pretty well known, especially considering the Raiders had the sixth pick in the draft, which kind of puts them out of the range of the Cam Ward sweepstakes for certain. And more than likely, it takes you out of the running for Shedeur Sanders. And when you look at this draft class, there is no like high profile top 10 pick QB3 in this draft. I think Shedeur Sanders is a borderline top 10 pick at quarterback. Somebody in the text line said the Chiefs got a fourth. Okay, that's what I thought. Because Deebo Samuel went to the Commanders for a fifth. And the Chiefs got a little bit better deal for the fourth. But Geno for a third is crazy. But that tells you about what the league thinks of the quarterback position, right? I'm not sure if the Eagles decided tomorrow that they were going to trade Saquon Barkley that they would get a third out of Saquon. And Saquon is a far superior player to Geno Smith at their respective positions. But that is how much precedent the NFL as a whole puts on the quarterback position now.
Well, and I also think that it kind of shows you what this, or at least what the NFL teams think about this draft class quarterback-wise. I mean, it depends on how the board shakes up, but there's already talks of Hunter and Abdul Carter going first overall, which means your quarterbacks are going to drop, and that wouldn't be too big of a price to pay for, say, Sanders is there at four with the Patriots. I mean, there's talks of them trading down with the Raiders, and it's like, now they don't need to do that, and it also probably wouldn't have costed a lot to leapfrog a team here with the prospects on the board right now.
Yeah, now you're in a position where if by some unforeseen happenstance those guys do fall, right? Say Shedeur Sanders does fall to six and you're the Las Vegas Raiders, you can just look at it from a best player available standpoint, and you can take Shedeur if you want to, but you don't have to now. And that's a huge bargaining chip that teams have, right? Where somebody's like, okay, we're going to leapfrog ahead of the Raiders because they're definitely going to take Shedeur if he's there at six. We got to get ahead of the Raiders at six to take Shedeur Sanders. And somebody still might, right? I mean, the Titans have expressed a real openness to trading down from number one because they feel like there's not a surefire generational talent at quarterback at number one, and the Titans have said they want a generational talent. Can you grab Abdul Carter at one? Sure you can. But if you can trade back, say, late into the top five, or even, you know, down as far as six or seven maybe with the Raiders or somebody else, then absolutely. You go for that. 913-586-7965. Somebody was saying, taking a look, so now does DK Metcalf stay put in Seattle? No.
No.
I think this increases the likelihood that DK's gone, because now they don't have a quarterback. Who's their starter's what, Sam Howell now?
Yep. Or Drew Locke, I can't remember. No.
Because Drew Locke's in New York.
New York. They may bring him back, though. It's just, you know, it's definitely kind of meeting the foots out the door for Metcalf. I don't know if he requested a trade, but it's definitely the rumors started about a week ago, and this kind of puts into motion a rebuild that the Seahawks have kind of started.
Oh, for sure. I think this only increases the likelihood that DK is gone because you already cut Tyler Lockett. You've now traded your quarterback one after trading away your wide receiver two, or cutting your wide receiver two. I think you trade off wide receiver one. Now Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to be Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's just standing in the offensive meeting room by himself. No idea what's happening. As is Trevor Lawrence. I think that Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas are in a pretty similar boat in Jacksonville. Of course, we haven't had a live show here on After Hours since Tuesday because we had K-State basketball on Wednesday and we had Royals baseball last night. The Jags cut ties with both Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. I know that the Chiefs had previously expressed interest in Christian Kirk a couple of years ago before he ultimately signed with Jacksonville because it was just too high a price to pay. Did the Chiefs make another run at him? There's a lot to be said for the possibility there, at least. Somebody in the text line said, mustard. Never fails.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an After Hours with you producing if somebody didn't say mustard in all caps here on the text line.
I was going to say, I appreciate those comments. They do make my day.
Unfortunately, this person said must-sard. M-U-S-T-S. Four A's R-D.
Hey, it is what it is, man. I appreciate them anyways.
I get it. He was trying to type it really fast. You know, it happens, man. This is not the Seahawks quarterback that I pictured even remotely somehow ending up in Vegas. I didn't think that Russell Wilson was a likely possibility, but he was a free agent. And Geno's had pretty decent years the 2 years that he's been in Seattle, but they haven't been contenders by any stretch of the imagination. I can't say that I necessarily saw this move coming by all intents and purposes. 816 says, yeah, new neighbor. I'm here in Rosewood. Am I going to see you at the neighborhood pool? No idea. No, I didn't even know there was a neighborhood pool. So, you know, once we get moved into the house and we can get it all sorted, they said congrats. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Excited to be neighbors, for sure. Raiders will probably have a shot at Shedeur Sanders. Yeah, I don't know, not saying it's unlikely. I think that there may be some people who have reservations about Shedeur Sanders, good, bad, or otherwise. I don't think he is as talented as Cam Ward. You know, I don't think that he's a bad guy necessarily, but he has had his spats with teammates in the past. You know, is there the reservation of his dad has been his coach for the last 4 years and how is that going to work? And so maybe he does end up sliding down people's draft boards for one reason or another. Uber accurate. I mean, unbelievably accurate quarterback in his 4 years in college, his couple of years at Jackson State, even more so during his time at Colorado. Right now, you've got Tennessee at the one. And again, they have said that they are open to trading down in the draft. This is not something that they have, okay, we're definitely picking at one. And You've got the Browns at two. I think if the Titans stay at one and they take Abdul Carter, the Browns are going to take Cam Ward. Browns need a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, 100%. A couple thoughts came up, and the text line saying Christian Kirk was traded to the Texans just for that Jaguars locker room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That's a good point.
But then my other thought was, if you're the Browns or the Titans, does DK Metcalf and Seattle's 18th pick and then maybe a future second or third, does that give you enough to jump all the way up if that's what they're looking for Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders?
It's going to be fascinating. So right now, Titans 1, Browns 2, Giants at 3. Giants are another likely possibility to take a quarterback.
They need to.
I would agree. They need to, unless
they re-signed Tommy DeVito the other day. If you want to go that route again,
that would be fool. If you're going to go with either any of those guys that you had at quarterback last year, Drew Lock should be your starting quarterback. Not Tommy DeVito. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Tommy Cutlets memes are fun to watch, but that's not an everyday starting quarterback in this league. And I don't think Drew Lock is either. He's definitely closer to it than anything else. You've got the Patriots at 4. Patriots aren't taking a quarterback. They've got Drake May. They seem to have a lot of belief in him. At 5, you've got the Jags. Jags aren't taking a quarterback either. They've got Trevor Lawrence on that mammoth deal that he signed a few years back. And then you've got the Raiders sitting at 6. So if you're the Las Vegas Raiders sitting there at 6, your concern lies with the top three teams in this draft. And one of those three teams is going to take Abdul Carter. The question is, okay, whoever, you know, if the Titans take Abdul Carter at 1, the Browns are going to take Cam Ward. Do the Giants have enough belief in Shedeur Sanders to pull the trigger on him at number 3, or do they go with Travis Hunter?
Yeah, and the Patriots are, the scouting reports and everything says they're really looking at Travis Hunter. So if he falls to 4, that I would say that's a lock right there. And I do think an interesting scenario that gets, you know, closer and closer to happening. Now, there is some contract disputes and some trade negotiations with the Browns and Myles Garrett, but there's your immediate replacement for Myles Garrett, and maybe they're looking to trade Myles Garrett for a quarterback, which instead of taking one in the draft and then taking Abdul Carter to be the replacement. I see a world where that's the scenario for them, freeing up that 1 or 3 trade for any of the teams looking for a quarterback.
Right now, you look at Geno Smith and, you know, his career numbers the last 3 years that he's been in Seattle have been the 3 best of his entire career by a wide margin. He last year in Seattle, they went 10-7. He had 21 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. He completed 70% of his passes, which was a career high for him. Despite the fact that the previous 2 years, in 2022 and in 2023, he made the Pro Bowl. And I remember he won, I believe he was Comeback Player of the Year in 2022. That was the, they wrote me off, I didn't write back. One of the coldest lines I've ever heard in a postgame interview. But somebody mentioned it in the text line, and it raises a good point. Geno's on the last year of his contract right now. He signed a 3-year deal with the Seahawks in 2023. After he won Comeback Player of the Year in 22, he signed a 3-year extension. So this is the final year of his deal. He'll be an unrestricted free agent next year. So you're looking at a possible, as this person said in the text line, the 660 says, only we'll have Geno for 1 year, for sure a possible bridge situation. I would agree. It's just a matter of do the Raiders have enough belief that Geno Smith is going to fall, or that Shedeur Sanders is going to fall to them at 6, or do you wait and see if you could grab maybe Jackson Dart early second round? I would not believe that Jackson Dart is a first round quarterback. That's just the belief that I have, but I didn't think Bo Nix was either, and look how wrong I was there.
I was going to say, you could have your hands on a Kenny Pickett situation where it's, you know, not really the same situation, but the next tier of quarterbacks down, that nobody viewed him as a first round talent, and he went in the first round just out of needs for the Steelers.
Yeah.
And it could very well be one of those situations. I'm seeing, you know, draft reports of now Ashton Jeanty going as high as 6 to the Raiders now that they solved their quarterback issue, quote unquote. You know, even if it is a bridge year and they're looking at potentially Arch Manning next year. But I don't know why you would go after a Geno Smith when he can elevate a team, or at least we've seen him in the past couple of years, when you're trying to tank for a higher pick.
Yeah.
And, so it's just confusing.
If you think Geno Smith is your guy, right? Say that Geno gets to Vegas and in the next week he signs a 2-year extension. Why would you draft a running back? If you're sitting there at 6, Teteroa McMillan from Arizona is going to be there at 6. Why not go get your new quarterback a weapon to pair alongside of Brock Bowers, who just put together the best rookie season by a tight end that we've ever seen. One of the best seasons by a tight end that has ever occurred in the National Football League. I think it's going to be a fascinating one to watch. Mustard Rules, being my last name is Mayo. M-E-O is how his last name is spelled, but it's pronounced Mayo. Mustard superior to mayo? I would agree. Yeah. I am a massive mayonnaise hater. Admittedly, I hate it. I'm sorry. I don't like mayonnaise. I don't like cottage cheese. It all tastes like sour cream. It all tastes like rotten milk to me.
I don't like it. I mean, I'm with you right there. I prefer not to have mayo, but you know, I'll be a good combination with the person with the last name. That's where I'll stand.
But you have said that you're also not much of a mustard guy either, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean,
what condiments are we putting on a dog or a burger?
Just ketchup, man.
Just ketchup? All right. I can respect it. I can respect it. Admittedly, I will also say, I just said that I hate mayonnaise, cottage cheese, and sour cream. That may not be the most out there statement. I said putting it on hot dogs. I don't like hot dogs. I despise hot dogs. I get a ton of heat for that, but I'm not a hot dog guy by any stretch.
Is it a sandwich?
No, it's not a sandwich. It's a hot dog. A sandwich is a sandwich.
Have you heard that argument?
Yes. Yes, I've heard it. And I've heard that people in England call a hamburger a burger sandwich. And that also drives me insane. That's not a sandwich. It's a burger. It's different. Stop it. I'm sick of the Brits telling us about our food. Okay, sorry that we don't eat beans on toast. Leave the rest of us alone. 913 in the text line said, I thought if the Raiders went for a former Seahawks quarterback, it would have been Russ or Lance. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought that Russell Wilson would have been that guy because he was already a free agent. But Geno's been better than him the last 3 years. I think he might be a little bit younger maybe than Russ, but not much. I don't know. I was a bit surprised by that. Yeah, they mentioned the Christian Kirk traded to the Texans. I think I said he got released, so that's on me. He did get traded to the Texans. Happens almost every draft. Someone's talking about quarterbacks falling. Who do you think, top 5, top 10 pick that falls to the late 20s, a la Aaron Rodgers in 05? Yeah, Rodgers was that way. Marino was that way. Recently, Lamar Jackson was a guy who fell. Deshaun Watson was a guy that people were very, very high on who fell down draft boards. One that was considered a high pick but fell, and it turned out to be a good idea, Will Levis out of Kentucky. Remember how everybody was so hyped? But Will Levis was like a number one pick for some people early on in the year in mock drafts. And then he was like, okay, maybe he's a top 10 pick. Okay, maybe he's a mid first round pick. And then on draft night, he falls all the way into the second round, and you're like, okay. Strange.
You got Mac Jones as well, projected between who the 49ers were going to pick at 3. And I know that was more like kind of case scenario for that whole draft. It was when we knew 1, 2, and 3 were going to be quarterbacks. We just didn't know what order. You could even say Justin Fields falling as far as he did until the Bears traded up. Both ended up not working out at their respective teams. And then also that age gap between Geno Smith and Russell Wilson. Wilson's 36. Geno is 34.
Yeah, somebody in the text line said that they're seeing reports that Geno is getting an extension at $45 million a year. I haven't seen anything of the sort. Again, I'm not saying that you're wrong, because I absolutely believe that you're reading that. I haven't seen anything definitive from, you know, a high mark sort of thing. Again, 913-586-7965 is our number. We've got a few more of these messages in the text line I want to get to, and we will certainly do that as we go along here tonight. A lot more moves to be made in the NFL, including a defensive lineman who was cut today, who I think the Chiefs should absolutely kick the tires on. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside my producer for tonight's program, Jacob Mustard, here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm not sure there's a human being more happy about the Geno Smith trade than Sam Darnold. I'll tell you why here in a few minutes. 913-586-7965 is our number here on this Friday night edition of After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard. And, you know, we're talking about Geno Smith being traded to the Las Vegas Raiders in exchange for a third-round pick. Somebody in the text line said that there's reports that Geno is getting an extension at about $45 million a year. I hadn't seen that yet, but Jacob pointed out to me during the break, Diana Rossini has said that Geno Smith is expected to get a new deal with Las Vegas. He's been looking to make between $40 and $45 million a year. So that listener, right on the money. Appreciate you passing that message along to us. But sounds like Sam Darnold may end up a Seattle Seahawk because of this move. You know, a lot of people have been speculating on the market value for Sam Darnold. What it was looking like. He was so good during the regular season, but that last game of the year against the Lions and then the playoff game against the Rams, he was wildly disappointing in both of those performances. And people were questioning, okay, what is Sam Darnold's market price going to look like? The Vikings haven't necessarily been chomping at the bit to keep him around. They didn't franchise tag him, which is somewhat of a common thing with a quarterback, especially in the situation of like Sam Darnold, where you've had kind of like one really impressive year and people are like, okay, put him on the tag and make him prove it. Vikings didn't do that. He's a free agent. The Seahawks, it sounds as if they are incredibly interested in Sam Darnold. Seattle, you know, last night, sounded like they were starting to make headway on a trade with the Raiders, and they became a much greater part of the conversation for Gina or for Sam Darnold. And it sounds like they are going to shell some cash out for Sam Darnold. They might be able to outbid for Sam Darnold at this point. The Vikings may not have enough money to contend with the situation. The offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks is Clint Kubiak. He is, of course, the son of Gary Kubiak, who coached the Houston Texans and the Broncos there for a little while. And in 2023, he was the passing game coordinator for the 49ers. While in 2023, Sam Darnold was the backup quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. So there is a familiarity between Clint Kubiak and Sam Darnold. There was a relationship that's already been cultivated there to some extent. While it was only a year, it's more than, you know, any close to any other organization in football right now. I think if it's not Seattle, he probably goes back to Minnesota at this point.
Yeah, and you know that you were talking about how that playoff and last game of the season may have hurt his stock. Well, that could be helpful for the Vikings in the end run. Maybe the Seahawks aren't willing to pay him as much, and then the Vikings are able to match it, and then he wants to stay in a system that he just had success with. So that could be another option for him. But I do think it's probably the best landing spot. And if you're the Seahawks, the one thing that I don't understand about the Geno Smith trade, I get it, he's getting up there in age, and maybe that is their play to look for Sam Darnold. You do not want to waste years of JSN, because say he has a down year next year and you don't give him a quarterback, that could shake his confidence. He's still a young receiver who, granted, had really high potential, and I think we saw it last year, glimpses of what could very well be on an amazing season, but he could have had more. And I think he's going to be, I mean, with the pending DK Metcalf trade, he's going to be the number one receiver there. Yeah. It's, you don't want to shake his confidence, especially if he has an off year and then it's, you know, you may not get the same production out of them.
You know, somebody mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and you and I both kind of dismissed it off the bat of like, does this mean that, the you know, with Geno being traded, does that mean the Seahawks are going to keep DK? And we both said, no, no way. If they signed Sam Darnold, does DK decide to rescind his trade request and go back to the Seahawks?
If they're able to keep DK, I mean, that's a good core. It really is. And if you think Darnold is the next big thing, that could be, you know, a Geno Smith, literally a Geno Smith replacement of somebody who's revived his career. If you're looking to do that, I think it's a good fit. And it could be something DK Metcalf's willing to be a part of, but I know he also wants to win and be in the playoffs. He's spent a long time just grinding it out, and yeah. He's definitely expressed himself as, I mean, people call him a diva sometimes, but at the end of the day, he wants to win, and if that's something he can't see himself doing in Seattle, he may just be like cutting all ties and moving on.
Seattle's got some good pieces outside of DK and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Their defense has got some strong pieces. They got the Witherspoon kid, the DB out of Illinois from a couple of years ago. He's a great player. If you bring in Sam Darnold, he's 27 years old, same age as DK. Jackson Smith and Jigba's, what, 23, 24?
I think 22.
So you've got a pretty young core there with your quarterback and your top two receivers. Jackson Smith and Jigba and DK are both proven commodities at wide receiver. It'll make the transition for Sam Darnold a little bit easier, because you go from Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson to a situation in Seattle where you've got, I believe, Noah Fant is their starting tight end there.
I did see they released Noah Fant.
They did release Noah Fant. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, he was a bit of a letdown. And I say that as an Iowa fan. I expected way more out of Noah Fant. I expected Jimmy Graham sort of stuff, like his athleticism, but it never really worked out. But you still have Jackson Smith and Jigba. You still got DK. And you bring in Sam Darnold. I think that would be fascinating. 913-586-7965. Someone says, I think Darnold should go to the Giants. Then the Giants should draft Travis Hunter. Darnold throwing to Neighbors and Hunter would be nice. That courtesy of Lance. Neighbors for sure. I don't know how much Travis Hunter's playing wide receiver. Maybe in certain sets, maybe certain gadget formations and things like that. Travis Hunter is not going to be an every down player in the NFL on both sides of the football. He is an every down corner, a true one-on-one corner in the National Football League. He is a capable wide receiver, but I don't think you can expect that man to play 40 to 50 snaps on defense and then 40 to 50 snaps on offense. There's just, in an NFL game against that level of size and speed and athleticism and strength for a 17-game regular season and then potentially the playoffs, although if he gets drafted by the Giants, he'll have to wait on the playoffs for a half decade. I don't know. Maybe.
You know, the only, and this is my bias, but the way I see it working out for him to play both sides of the ball is if he gets drafted to the Patriots, because they have Christian Gonzalez, or if you get him another pair to, you know, maybe Travis Hunter is the cornerback too in that scenario. That way he doesn't have to cover the number one receiver, and he splits time both on, you know, he'd be definitely more a gadget player on offense, but at the same time, that kind of fits his both side of the ball narrative.
Yeah, no question. Somebody in the text line said, talking about the Geno Smith trade and if they were to sign Sam Darnold, the Seahawks, these changes don't make them a contender. Metcalf will still want out. And I agree with that. I do agree. I just don't. Maybe it's enough to smooth things over for DK. I don't know. You've got one year. Sam Darnold's given you 1 year of, like, I'm a quarterback in the NFL. He's less proven than Geno. Now, was his past season better than any season Geno's had? Yes, but it was 1 year. Like, is that enough to really kind of smooth things over for DK with the Seattle Seahawks organization? I don't know. And we know the Seahawks are a little bit miffed with DK right now because they cut Tyler Lockett, and you request a trade on the exact same day that they just cut Tyler Lockett. It seems, according to CBS Sports, they were a little bit blindsided by that news from DK Metcalf. So maybe not. Someone said Geno is a major upgrade for Vegas. Hate to see all this competence in the division. Yeah, the Broncos are solid. They found the right coach and quarterback. The Chargers have the right coach and quarterback, and they're building around it. Chargers won, what, 10 games?
I think so.
They won 10 or 11 games with Ladd McConkey as wide receiver one. And Ladd McConkey's a great receiver. He's not a wide receiver one. He's a wide receiver two or a wide receiver three as your slot, right? So if they can find more pieces, if they can find a running back, look out. Chargers could be a damn good football team.
Yeah, and I like J.K. Dobbins there, but the issue with J.K. Dobbins is he can just never stay healthy.
Yeah, and the same thing with Gus Edwards, who they picked up.
And
he can't stay healthy either.
The Seahawks, I mean, if the Seahawks are in a total rebuild, if the Chargers could go out and trade for, maybe they can't pay the price draft pick wise for Kenneth Walker, but if they snag Zach Charbonnet, I mean, he's proven a very capable running back, and he's a backup, kind of the same scenario that we saw with Austin Eckler a couple years ago and then his backup, but that, you know, that didn't end up working out. But if they're able to grab a Charbonnet, and then just looking at a draft board, they could have a potential to grab Luther Burden in the draft. I mean, yeah. pair him next to that wide receiver core.
Where are the Chargers picking right now?
22, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit outside of the Matthew Golden range, I would say. I mean, Teroa McMillan, I still pronounce that incorrectly, no matter how hard I try. I think he'll be a top 10 pick. He's wide receiver one in this class. Matthew Golden is probably wide receiver two. He's probably somewhere in like the 12 to 16 range.
Yeah, they have the one that I'm looking at has McMillan going at 7 to the Jets. And then you have, just lost him, Golden going to the Steelers at the pick right before the Chargers.
At 21 then.
At 21.
Okay.
And then they actually have Emeka. I can't say that last name.
Emeka Abuka?
Yeah.
Ohio State.
At 25 to the Texans, and then Luther Burden to the Rams at 26. So, I mean, it really depends how the draft board shakes out, but they could have options there.
It's going to be fascinating to see. The NFL is never at a shortage of news and information to talk about. We've really only talked about Geno Smith getting traded and the possibility of Sam Darnold going to Seattle, and we're 30 minutes in. But there's a lot more going on. And I mentioned that there was a major defensive lineman, a guy who's a former Pro Bowler, who was released by his team today. Somebody I think the Chiefs should take a run at. No question in my mind. We will talk about that next. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, 913-586-7965. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard here on your home for Kansas City sports. We got guys requesting trades, guys being denied trades, guys being traded, guys being released, all before the new league year has even started. The new NFL league year does not begin officially until March 12th, but something's always going down in the National Football League. A story that I teased a little bit earlier that I am highly intrigued by as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Earlier today, the Washington Commanders cut two-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jonathan Allen. He is 30 years old. He played the entirety of his first 8 years in the National Football League with Washington. The Commanders were trying to trade him, but they failed to find a trade partner to deal with. So they decided to just release him. He was entering the final year of his contract, and he was due $15.5 million in base salary. No more guaranteed money. So this was a way for them to keep $15.5 million off the books. I think the Chiefs should absolutely make a run at Jonathan Allen. At least kick the tires on it. Gauge his interest. Gauge how much it's going to cost. And see if you can make something happen. Is Jonathan Allen the same player that we saw 2 years ago? Maybe. Maybe not. He's played 8 years in the league. Like I said, he's 30 years old. And he's coming off a year with Washington where he played in only 8 games, started 7, and he had 3 sacks. But I look at what he accomplished in the years prior to that. From 2018 to 2023, he played in at least 15 games in every single one of those 6 years, including 16 games 4 times. He played in 17 games in 2021. He was a Pro Bowler twice, 21 and 22, in which he had 9 sacks, 7.5 sacks, respectively. And in the 3 previous years leading up to this past season when he was dealing with all these injuries, he had double-digit tackles for loss. He had 10 TFLs in 2021, 16 in 2022, and he had 10 more in 2023 with 9 sacks, 7.5 sacks, and 5.5 sacks. If you could get Jonathan Allen on like a 2-year deal for $24 million, why not? Shore up the interior of your defensive line. Now you've got Chris Jones, Jonathan Allen, and George Karlaftis. Figure out what you want to do with the other defensive end position, whether that is bringing back Charles Aminihou, whether that is finally giving Felix Anudike-Uzomah the keys and saying, dude, it's your third year in the league. Put up or shut up. Prove it to us at this point. That's not typically something that happens in the NFL. I think it's more likely that Aminihou comes back, or maybe you look at an edge rusher in the draft. I don't know if that's incredibly likely.
See, yeah, Jonathan Allen screams Bill or Chief to me. I think it comes down to one of the two. I think he got a taste of winning last year with the Commanders since, you know, he's been there since, you know, they were the previous name. And they did not have much success with him or while his tenure there. So I think he definitely tries to pick his, you know, he got paid a lot of money. He signed a 5-year extension off of his rookie deal. I think it was $72 million or something around those lines. And, you know, I think he's wanting to be on a title team.
I would. I mean, like you said, he's been with the Commanders for so long and never really experienced success or winning at the highest of levels. And this past season, you get all the way to an NFC title game. You're like, man, I want that again. I don't want to go back to playing on a 5-12 football team. And the Ravens, I don't think there's a need for it. The Eagles certainly don't have a need for it.
I was going to say, I don't think he could force himself to play with the Eagles.
The Bills just, I mean, they've got so much going on with their defensive line anyway. And the Bills have other needs that they need to get figured out. They got to find more wide receivers because you traded for Amari Cooper. It didn't work. Now he's a free agent. You gave Khalil Shakir the long-term extension, but you don't really have outside receivers at the moment. You've got a slot receiver, and that's about it. So they've got other stuff that they've got to get worked out. They've got to figure out what's going on with the James Cook situation there. So I think if he wants to continue winning, the Chiefs seem like a really, really smart option for him. That's just my opinion. Maybe, and that's probably just exuding bias on my part.
But I mean, my two dark horse picks would have to be either, you know, the Bengals, since, you know, another show note you had was their Trey Hendrickson looking to be a trade, as, you know, if you want to segue into that, or
what? The Bengals are going to pay Trey Hendrickson? I'm perplexed.
Or potentially
who saw that one coming?
It could be a Broncos situation for Jonathan Allen,
too. Could be. I don't know, man. I mean... Yeah, wow, the Cincinnati Bengals don't want to pay one of their upper echelon players? No, never heard that before. 913-586-7965. 913 in the text line said, I like the Allen thought, but I'd rather take that type of player in the draft and spend that same money on a Aminihou and bring in a cheap free agent like Chase Young for depth. Is Chase Young going to be cheap, though? Chase Young's what, 26?
Chase Young is so weird of a player.
Super
man.
Weird.
He had that dominant rookie season with Nick Bosa, right? You know, those were the two top
draft
picks.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year. He had 7.5 sacks.
And then he just fell off a cliff, and he's still super young.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't start a single game for the Saints last year. He played in all 17, but he did not start a single game. Still had 5.5 sacks and 3 forced fumbles.
He's
25 years old.
That is crazy.
Chase Young is going to be more expensive than Jonathan Allen.
For him to hit the free agent market,
for the second time,
yeah,
mind you.
Second time at 25 after being a defensive rookie of the year is... I don't think he expected that for his career trajectory either. I don't think anybody saw it coming.
Former number 2 overall pick, and he's 25 years old, and it's his second time he's been a free agent in his career. Yeah, I don't think anybody was anticipating that one at all. But I don't know. And Jonathan Allen is an interior piece. And yeah, I agree. Even if you sign Jonathan Allen, I think that you can still draft an interior defensive lineman because Chris Jones has so much, you know, in terms of his ability to adapt. He's a guy that you can play inside. You can play him on the outside. I don't know. I don't know. My gut still tells me Andy and company are going to package picks to go up to 12 to 15 for a tackle. Funny that you mentioned that, because we were looking, I was, you know, peeking around at some mock drafts a little bit earlier, and I saw this one, and I think it's the same one because somebody else in the text line mentioned Shedeur Sanders falling all the way to 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. This mock draft from CBS Sports and Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports, who not only does he have Shedeur falling all the way to 21 to the Steelers, he has the Chiefs trading up to number 8 overall with the Carolina Panthers and taking Armand Membo from Mizzou. So if that's the plan, then sign Jonathan Allen. Sign Jonathan Allen. And then when you look at your draft board, it's okay, left tackle, middle linebacker, corner, and another wide receiver if you want. Running back, I think, has got to be addressed so quickly in this draft. You got to get a running back. It's such a deep class. You need a three-down guy. I love Isaiah Pacheco, but I don't think he's that dude. But by drafting, by signing Jonathan Allen, you're not getting younger on your defensive line, which I don't like, but it takes a need off the board for the draft and opens you up your availability to try to trade up and, you know, part with some draft capital to go up and get that left tackle that you think is the guy, right?
I'm trying to think what would that trade package look like?
I think it's probably 31, obviously. 31's a part of that deal. Probably one of the thirds, one of your two third-round picks in this year's draft class, and then maybe a late-round pick in next year's draft class. Maybe a sixth or a seventh in 26.
Yeah, and if I'm the Chiefs, I'm doing that trade in a heartbeat. It's whether you can give the Panthers or convince them to do that.
Right. It's just it's a matter of, I think that you have to take care of other needs first. If you want to go up and get a tackle in this draft, that's fine, and you're willing to part with some of that draft capital. You're willing to part with that extra third that you got from the Titans, but you have got to address, you've got to go get a defensive tackle. You've got to go get another corner. I think you've got to do that.
Speaking of running backs, you know, this one that I'm looking at has him taken
Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State.
I'm struggling with names, man, today.
Is that in the third?
That was at 63.
So that's that. Okay. So that's that pick in the second. It's interesting, man. 913-586-7965. Oh, my goodness.
Text line is asking if you take running back Hampton if he's still there at 31, if you stay put.
If you stay put at 31, I would not be mad if you took Amarion Hampton. But, I mean, it's going to leave a bad taste in a lot of Chiefs fans' mouths because you took a running back late in round one a couple of years ago and it didn't work. I look at Amarion Hampton. He looks more the part than Clyde Edwards-Helaire did. As good as Clyde was at LSU, I was shocked when they took him at the end of round one a few years ago. I'm like, he's a little bit undersized. Like, he's a receiving back. I didn't look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and think, okay, that's a three-down back. That's a guy that I'm comfortable giving the ball to on first and 10, second and 7, and third and 3. That was a guy that I'm like, I'm comfortable giving him the ball on first and 10 or on third and 9 on a halfback slip screen or something. Like, I would be fine with Amarion Hampton personally, but I think that would leave that would be met with some reservations by Chiefs fans, no doubt about it. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one. A lot more to come here on the program. We haven't even gotten to half of this NFL news that I want to discuss here on the program tonight, let alone the college basketball news, some NBA stuff, and the fact that my wife and I bought a house today. We'll talk about all that coming up here a little bit later on. You're listening to After Hours, Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard right here on 96.5 The Fan. After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here with you alongside Jacob Mustard. A lot of text messages to get to. I'll try to get through as many of them as I can. I may push it off here until we head into the second hour of our program here tonight. but I want to try to get a nickname going. Okay, you ready? Stay with me here, Jacob. Somebody in the text line says that I think we should stay at 31 or trade back because there is no Joe Alt in this draft. Yeah, I'm not overly impressed by the number of wide, you know, left tackles that we have. Earlier this week, we had Chris Unocero on, who does a lot of NFL draft coverage, and he had mentioned like arm length is a big thing. You know, arm length is huge for tackles and edge protectors in the NFL, and you're typically looking for a guy that has like 34-inch arms or longer. There was nobody like that in this draft class. 33, 33 and a quarter, even up to 33 and a half. Those are sort of shorter arms for an offensive tackle, especially in today's day and age with how athletic edge rushers are nowadays, how athletic defensive ends are, or 3-4 linebackers. You got to be able to use your reach to get hands on a guy, and these tackles are a little bit undersized in that aspect. Big body dudes. I mean, like Armand Membo is 6'5", 320, and runs a 4'8". Excuse me? But I don't know. I think it's going to be a fascinating one to watch. But I say all of that to say that this individual led that text message by saying, L-dub, I think we should stay at 31. I don't think I've ever in my 27 years of existence heard somebody refer to me as L-dub. Logan Weber, it's my name, L Dub. Dude, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. We're just sitting here at 96.5 The Fan. We got Dusty. We got Fesco. We got Cody and Gold. We got C-Dot, and we got L Dub. I'm in.
And I guess I'm now Colonel Mustard, too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Somebody did hit you with that one. Said Jacob, huh? I always wondered what Colonel Mustard's first name was. Haven't heard from you since you were with Miss Scarlet in the billiards room. Dude, I haven't played Clue since I was like 9.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I've played Clue, and because I always had coaches ask me if I'd ever played Clue. And I was like, yeah, I'm young, but I'm not that young to where I missed out on that game. So I've definitely, you know, heard those jokes throughout the years, which they're funny. I take them.
I was very impressed by, you know, the level of detail they went to. You were with Miss Scarlet in the billiards room.
Yeah, for a second, like before it.
At least you were in the study with a candlestick. That's the usual shtick, isn't it? Right.
I mean, before it hit me, I was like, did I have a teacher, Miss Scarlet? And then I was like, oh wait, they're making a Clue joke.
Yeah, it's a Clue joke. It's always a Clue joke, buddy. That's all right. It happens. 913-586-7965. So keep that in mind, folks, all right? I'm no longer Logan or Logan Weber. Just refer to me as L-Dub here until the end of time. I'm going to try to get that one going. I'm going to self-create a nickname, even though I didn't create it. I'm just taking the idea of the nickname and trying to force it upon everybody else here. See if we can get this thing started. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber, otherwise known now as L-Dub. I can't even get through it. Alongside Jacob Mustard right here on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.